Chapter 4. Darinar, East of Lusk. The two horses walked in a line. Jerrica was in front pulling the cart, and Matilda followed closely behind with the rest of Mira's flowers. The tiny sliver of moon above them was doing its best to light their way, but Thornton knew it would not be enough. He climbed down from the cart and pulled out a torch, sparking his flint until the oil-soaked rag caught fire, lighting up the dusk and the road ahead. Forcing a tight smile, he settled back into his seat to watch the waves of flames make shadows of the trees that lined the path. The light of the torch was welcome, as was the comfort it provided, and he and Mira were back on their way in no time. Lusk was a ways behind them, but Mira still seemed jumpy. Though the road was almost not wide enough for it, she prodded Maddie to the side so she could walk side by side with Thornton and Jerrica.
"I just don't understand," she started. "Lusk has always been peaceful."
Thornton grunted in agreement.
"I've never heard of anything like that happening, especially in a crowded market area," she continued. "And did you see all those people just standing around and watching? It was like nothing was going on."
Thornton grunted again, causing Mira to narrow her eyes at him.
"Are you listening to me?" she asked.
In truth, his head was still back in Lusk.
"When I looked at the man lying on the ground," he started, "I saw something. It was a white hand, like a skeleton."
Shaking his head, he added,
"I can't stop thinking about it." "I saw it too," Mira answered, "and I don't like it."
"I don't either," Thornton said, as his voice trailed off, allowing silence to settle in. The only other sounds as they traveled were the steady steps of the horses and the wooden creaks of the turning wheels. Their rhythmic repetition had lulled Thornton into complacency as he watched the road ahead of them, lazily scanning the route for anything out of the ordinary. But when he thought he saw a light go out ahead, he instinctively tightened his grip on Jericho's harness. Home was still a ways off, and he was wary. A crunch from somewhere in the trees ahead brought him to a stop, with Mira and Maddie following suit.
"Did you hear that?" he whispered.
Mira nodded.
"It sounded like it came from up there," she replied quietly, pointing to the trees off the road ahead.
Thornton started to reach into the cart for his hammer, but the sound of a bowstring being drawn made him freeze.
"Human, extinguish your light," came a voice, low and gravelly.
"Don't do it,"
Mira whispered cautiously.
"Listen to me," said the voice.
"Why should I?"
Thornton shot back. There was silence, followed by a low growl.
"You can argue with my arrow, but it flies whether or not you put out the light."
Thornton had no choice. With his free hand, he doused the light, and almost instantly the bowstring twanged. An arrow whistled right past him. It must have hit its mark, as a gurgling sound came from behind them, slightly off the road. Two more arrows flew through the air, and twice more they struck home. This time, a female voice said,
"There are two more ahead, five or six."
Thornton strained his eyes and turned to see where the voices were coming from. He studied the area for a moment and saw nothing. He was about to give up when he heard the low voice of the male again.
"Those three had been following you for some time. They were about to make their move."
Out from the darkness of the trees stepped two black figures, barely discernible against the shadows, as they approached Mira and Thornton. They were tall and thin, a good foot taller than Thornton, and almost completely invisible in the blackness. As they got closer, Thornton could see why. Their entire bodies were covered in what looked to be fine black fur that caught just the tiniest glint of moonlight. Trailing behind each was a tail about as long as Thornton's arm, and pointed ears sat atop their heads, moving and twitching as they followed sounds. They each held a longbow, and the only clothing they had looked to be made from a single hide. Their dusty and well-worn packs suggested they had been traveling for some time.
"Kinari," Mira whispered. "What are you doing outside of your forest?"
"The mother told us of your need," said the male. "You are in trouble. We must move."
He turned to his companion and said,
"Inara, scout ahead. Bring me a count."
Inara gave a quick nod and melted back into the shadows. Thornton strained his eyes to follow her, but it was like she was never even there. He blinked a few times at the vacuous blackness. The male turned to them and bowed slightly.
"I am called Kethris,"